Corrective maintenance is the style of maintenance that we have a failure. The line is down, the equipment's not working, the system doesn't start up, for example. And the technicians roll out to find out what happened and to effect the appropriate repairs and maintenance on a system to restore it to operating condition. So it's a pretty simple concept. And in some cases, as we saw in the last lesson, there's cases where that's the only kind of maintenance that makes sense. And other cases, we want to avoid doing this style of corrective maintenance. So there's a couple of things to consider, and let's take a look at some of the analysis that we may want to do concerning corrective maintenance. Well, part of this is that corrective maintenance really, really starts at the design. Is the equipment equipped to do quick, easy, efficient corrective maintenance? Can I restore it back to like new condition, or am I restoring it to a limp along condition until we can effect a more complete repair? So that is by design. Do we have the right spares, the right technicians, the right diagnostic equipment, and so on, so that when we do learn of a failure, what's the right approach to effecting a repair? And it'll depend on your equipment and the cost of downtime and so on. But the basic idea here is that we need the right equipment, tools, and technology and education in order to restore a system back to operating. And so it's thinking through that entire system, not just that we're going to go out and fix things, but are we able to go and fix things? Another set of conditions or considerations is, well, what kind of system is this? Is it a something that we can use our technicians that work on all of the equipment on the line, or do we need specialized skill or specialized tools or so on? Well, how long does it really take us to do different kinds of corrective maintenance? Taking my car into the auto shop, and they have a set time of what they charge for a oil change, but the actual time of the oil change may be dependent much more on how many people are waiting to have their car's oils changed, how busy is the shop. You might be waiting an hour before it even gets into the shop for the repair to occur, and that only may take 15 minutes. But then there may be delays in paperwork and other things. So as we talked about with availability, there's lots of different elements that get built into the cost of downtime. And so thinking through those and minimize those where you can, and maybe getting some friends that are in your organization that are focused on examining processes and making them as lean as possible would be a good project to minimize the total amount of downtime caused by corrective maintenance. And that can affect number of spares you hold, the type of skill sets you have available, the staffing levels, all kinds of different things. So there's, in the analysis in this case, it's really looking at, well, how often do you have to do corrective maintenance and what kinds of systems? And then maybe optimize your system to minimize the times for those things you do quite often, but also for those things that end up being that long tail, it takes forever to get the repair done. What can you do to avoid those repairs, or if they have to occur, is make them as efficient as possible? Now, ideally, this all gets done during the design. We're thinking through this as a repairable system, but if I have to dismantle the entire system and order a dozen custom parts just to change one circuit board, that may be a cost-prohibitive approach. So getting things that are standardized and interchangeable and things that fail are easily accessible, and more importantly is that we can find and identify exactly which element of my system requires repair. So a lot of these different things are elements that are built into it by the design. So whether you're creating a product that's repairable or buying one for your system, these are the kinds of things to consider, because they all impact the amount of downtime that is incurred when you have to fix a failure. Of course, there's the basic idea here, though, is that that repair time is an estimate. And until you do this in practice and in different actual conditions, it's hard to get a decent estimate of this. So using the experience of your teams and working with similar systems is you can probably get an improvement on your repair times that incorporates not only the wrench time, the actual repairs, but all those other things that add up to take the system down longer than the actual repair time. But also training and the use of redundancy can affect the amount of downtime. If I have, say, hot swappable power supplies and one goes down, I don't have as much time pressure to get that material or that power supply up and running. But the clock is ticking because if that second power supply fails, then I lose that part of the system. So for high availability systems, you still want to focus on getting those repairs, even though the system isn't technically down. It's usually then in a state that's more likely to fail and then incur the much larger costs of system failures. So lots of different things to consider. It's not just wait for it to fail and then go figure out what part you need. It's think through the logistics and the resources and impact that the design elements create that impact your corrective maintenance program. And so this is more of a hypothetical question, but just think about a system that's difficult to repair. While it's technically still a repairable system, we really are losing the functionality of that system for longer than necessary. Now, some things are just difficult to repair, and they're not intended to be repaired very often, which is in part why it leads to their difficulty. But the basic idea is that if you're building a repairable system, and those early FMEAs and user experience feedback is on, hey, I can't fix this thing in a quick, efficient way, it probably needs some serious thought as you build out that program. One of the tools we use in repairs and in monitoring our systems and evaluating performance is we measure things. And so there's a whole group of measurement systems called non-destructive tools, and we'll look at those evaluation techniques in the next lesson. Mm-hmm.